Welcome to the Lost Dot Podcast and the second edition of the Accursed Race, brought to you by our race partners, Albion and Ride with GPS. Day 3 in the Accursed Mountains, and today should see the first riders reach Control Point 1 in Barana, Montenegro. Justina Slaveka, cap number 2, is still out in front with a healthy lead over Christoph Dijkmans, cap 14, and Pierre Bischoff, cap 32. Race reporter Tom Probert and the team in Control Car 1 are spending the day further back along the route. The first rider they run into is Oliver Neumann, cap 31.
A little bit tired, didn't sleep so well last night because it was very cold. I was outside without a shelter, but I'm happy to be here at this time.
Describe to me your sleeping spot last night then.
It was on a meadow, outside.
Just on the grass.
When the sun is shining, I have to dry all my sleeping things, sleeping bag and so things, because it was all wet from the humidity.
Nice. And I've just found you here in Chaplinia, enjoying your morning coffee and cigarette break.
Yes.
Standing next to a dustbin. This is classic ultra racing stuff, isn't it?
Yeah, it's sometimes you have to remove all the stuff you have collected during the race, or the litter, and it's a perfect place. And I have a better strategy than last year. Yeah. I tried to sleep earlier, and last year I tried to reach my goal always, and I was riding too long, and this year I stop riding when I'm tired, lay down, and it's the better strategy for a long distance race.
Meanwhile, our race reporter in Control Car 2, Andrew Phillips, is enjoying the warmth and daylight to shake off some overnight chilliness. He's also on the hunt for a delicious morning kebab.
I'm sat here in Milvena having a very strong coffee. There's a beautiful warm feeling in the sun, but out of the sun, it gets really cold really quickly. It's been a chilly night overnight, and riders will have really had to wrap up warm, and if they've been bivvying out, you'd better hope they've got a nice warm sleeping bag.
Oh, that's a big bit of meat.
Oh yeah, I'm hoping he's going to bash it in a sec. You going to hammer it? So we just stopped by in the local cevapi joint. Cevapi is a kind of Balkan kebab that you find sort of all over the region, particularly in Bosnia. And we just stopped by. Matt's got some photos. They're preparing the day's meat, hammering away at some belly pork and some sausages and other bits of meat, sizzling away on the grill. It's a spot that riders might choose to resupply at as they come back into this tiny little patch of civilization after about 120 kilometers off-road in the Sutjeska National Park.
Once kebab time comes to an end, Andrew finds and speaks to Christian Dupraz, cap number 22.
How was your night last night?
Again, fine. I slept in Mother Nature. Just didn't find a shelter, but overgrown lumber track, and so it was not windy, dry, not too cold.
Perfect. And how did you find the Sutjeska National Park?
Oh, really great. Remembered me of Georgia, something like that.
You see any wildlife out there?
Not much. Some rabbits.
Hares, maybe. The big rabbits.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Quite big. No bear.
So this morning, the Control Car 1 team woke up in Chaplina, bright and early, and as always, check the tracker. It's the first thing we do. We were looking forward to a nice hotel breakfast, but quickly realised we'd had to get out of there quickly to intercept Oliver Neumann, who was in town and threatening to leave. We then kind of split up, split forces, and Hannah and Sam went out to the outskirts of town to shoot the Eiffel Bridge, which is on the Chiro Trail. Didn't manage to get some of the kind of next wave of riders that came through, but managed to shoot Thorsten Brunner, who was coming across the bridge. That wave of four or five riders that were coming through town, unfortunately, none of them actually stopped to resupply. So in town, I wasn't able to grab any of those guys to chat to them, but I did find a local woman who gave me some really useful insight about the town itself and the local area.
I mean, this country is a very nice country, beautiful country, and all tourists and people who arrive to this country and visit it, they are all delighted and thrilled about it because of the nature of the people. And people itself are very nice and kind.
Yeah.
But the political situation is tricky since over years and years, and it's not becoming better.
Mm.
And that's the problem.
Yeah.
Because this country could be moving forward like lightning, but because of the politicians, it's not possible, unfortunately.
And what do you know what the main things are that are holding that progress back?
For their own sake, because they are getting richer and richer, and our people are getting poorer and poorer.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really funny. Such a beautiful country. I always keep to say, love to say, we could be Switzerland number two if it was for the people.
Yeah.
But it's unfortunately not the case.
What do you think are the best things that your country and your town have to offer for people visiting?
First of all, people, like people. And I think the accommodations are also nice.
Yeah.
I think the people are keeping it tidy and clean for tourists, and I don't think that we have some holes and the hyphens. And the people, I mean, we are very warm-hearted,
yeah.
And that's the truth. I mean, the whole country is such a country with such people. But the only thing is, as I said, the politics, nothing else.
Yeah.
And we could be so happy.
Just stopped by this beautiful little spring running straight out of the rock for a quick drink in the Sutjeska National Park. I've just been staking out a bit of the track, trying to get a good shot on the approaching riders without them seeing me. I think I managed to do that. But as I've been lying there for about half an hour, just in the beautiful tranquility of the national park, I've got forest all around, as far as you can see, big high crags sticking out of them. This amazing sort of dapple greens where the beech trees mix with the pine trees. It's really an absolutely pristine, beautiful scene. But every now and then you hear the distant sound of a chainsaw. And I've had one or maybe two logging trucks go past in the last couple of hours. And it's just a little reminder that nowhere is safe. There might be amazing endangered species living in here, but that doesn't mean that man won't try and monetize this area.
Back with the team in Control Car 1, Tom is with race director Hannah Larbalestier, who explains where the routes will take the riders so that they can find a good position to capture a photo or two as they pass through.
And then riders will pass through a series of these tunnels that are cut out of the rock, and they've got these really rough rock and like rocky interior, completely unlit, and some of them are really quite long, so they're really dark, and some of them are just filled with bats that will be flapping around overhead as they pass through.
A lot of wildlife to contend with on this route. And who are we waiting for, like the next rider to come through?
I think the first rider who should come through is Josh Ridley. He could well be here in the next 10 minutes or so. And then we've got Marku Lepala, James van der Hoorn, they're in quite close succession, Andrew Hatton, and then the pair, Hannah Vett and Annie Dunlap, are not too far behind them, but it could be a couple of hours until they all come through.
Shortly after, Tom manages to catch a quick conversation with our only pair on this year's race, Annie Dunlap and Hannah Vett, caps 37A and B. They're beginning to really feel the challenge, but also grateful at the opportunity to take a constant free hit at the candy.
I was just saying to Hannah, you have to be a really spry young buck to endure this.
Feeling like a withered oak tree right now.
Oh, a spry sapling. That's what I said. Sapling, yeah. It's like I don't feel very mobile. I'm like pretty young, so I'm confused.
Have you? How much have you guys been sleeping? Is that part of it as well?
We're like riding all day, so we're getting
4.5 hours.
We'll get 3 hours the first night, and then 4 hours last night. So like. Respectable, yeah. But for our pace, you know, you would want more sleep.
I'm intrigued. You guys are from the military, right?
We are.
You're in the military. Is your military training kind of paying off in this? Are you using some of your military tactics?
Trauma bonding for sure.
The best part about this is you get to eat all the junk food you want. Yes. And then when you're in training, you have very limited food supply.
Okay.
And like what kind of food you can eat, and it's all pre-packaged and everyone gets the same stuff. Yeah. So this we can
sticks with you for a while.
Yeah. This you can eat Snickers, have Fanta, like we don't get that.
Yeah, we kind of feel like kids. Like going in there in our water bottles, we just have the most absurd concoctions of drinks in there.
But okay. I would say that's the biggest advantage, is like the mental side of having whatever food is available instead of being provided food.
Yeah.
So that's, for me, food is the main motivator.
Really? That is not what I was expecting you to say. Of all of the outdoors training and stuff that you guys have, it's eating candy is the main your main benefit.
Further along the route, Andrew is hiding.
We are going on a bear hunt. I'm up in the Yeska National Park. I'm crouched just on the edge of the tree line. Just a kilometre or two from where I once saw a real-life brown bear on the Trans-Balkan race. But today, the animal I'm looking for is a different hairy beast. It's Andy Dodd, cap 6. He's going to be the next rider along the trail. So I'm sat here with photographer Matt Grayson's camera, waiting for him to pass. Matt's lined up just slightly further down the trail, waiting to get a different angle. It's an absolutely beautiful scene. Bright, sunny day. Gorgeous pine forests. And we're in this little sort of clearing, little upland pasture, and it really is a magical mountain scene.
Can you explain why it's important that the media team keep themselves concealed from the riders out in the wilderness?
Yeah, it's a big part of the idea behind this race is that we want these riders to experience the solitude that you get and the sense of remoteness in the wild places that the race goes through. And while the Chiro line isn't necessarily a very remote place, we still want to preserve that sense of kind of loneliness almost when you're doing a race like this, and we want them to feel like they are out there by themselves. And it can be a very intrusive feeling if you're racing and you're really in your own headspace, and suddenly you come across a media team, and it's even more jarring if that's at the top of like a high mountain pass and you've been off-road for 30 kilometres. So yeah, the idea behind our media strategy is to really give them that sense of remoteness when they're out there.
It's almost like a form of pollution in a way, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. That's a nice way of putting
intruding
it.
On your experience in a different way.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's a very refreshing strategy and change for the riders, because we had so many riders last year commenting on the fact that they were out there by themselves and they didn't see anyone for maybe 4 days or something. Mm-hmm. And that's just not something, especially if you're leading the race, mm-hmm. that's not something that you'd get in any other race situation.
It also sort of ramps up the self-supported nature as a sort of side effect as well, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah. And you know, these riders need to be aware that, and all of them are aware that it is a self-supported event and there's not a safety net there. We're not going to come to their rescue if they have a puncture or a mechanical, or if they fall off and scrape their knee or something. We can't necessarily be there to help them. And so I guess this is a way of reinforcing that sense of being out there by yourself and looking after yourself.
And for like Justinas, for example, on another race he might be chatting to a media team every day or multiple times a day.
Yeah.
And on this he wouldn't have that, so it's a different experience, isn't it? You don't get the support of the kind of moral support of just seeing another person and chatting to them.
Yeah, and that buzz that you get from chatting to a media team is huge. And if we, like in a lot of races, the media team will really focus on just a handful of riders at the front of the race, or maybe a few characters that they particularly like seeing. And you can't really measure the psychological advantage that you get from that. But it can leave you with a good high that will keep you pushing on and, you know, pedaling a bit harder for a few hours.
Yeah.
One of the challenges of covering a race like the Accursed is the fact that most of it takes place on trails, which means it is physically harder to find and get close to the riders. Add the team's stealthy approach, and it leads to a lot of hiding and whispering. Tom is with race photographer Sam Dugon.
We once again find ourselves hiding amongst the bushes. We're just elevated a little bit off the trail. From the rider's point of view, riding up to us, we're hidden by a tree. If they were to stop right in front of us, we'd be pretty much just eyeball to eyeball. We'd be able to see us easily. But luckily, there's this massive, amazing view to the right and way to the left. So far, that's worked. We weren't anticipating Joss to stop and relieve himself in front of the view, but fair enough. It's a very scenic wee to take part in. Whispers, yeah, this is going to be proper ASMR. How did that shot go? Did you miss him?
He wasn't where I thought he was going to be.
On the trail? What were you expecting?
I thought he'd be in some kind of a wingsuit. No, he was obscured by some trees. I'd kind of had it set up thinking it would be okay, but he was way further over than I anticipated, so next guy I'm going to try and stand up and hopefully that'll give me a better angle. But
he's coming back.
After getting the shot they need, the team runs into Joep van Luyt as he stocks up on supplies.
How are you feeling, okay?
I'm feeling okay. I finally the bike is better.
What happened to the bike?
Well, my bottom bracket was creaking. So we fixed that. The second, my rear ear was fucked up. So I've now MacGyver it, put some tape on between.
Yeah.
To because the battery pins are stuck. So now it's more force on the battery to the mechanic.
What happened? Did you crash or something?
No, just out of nothing. Like after 50k, it stopped working.
You still think the electronic
and
gears
I have two
are the
new
best?
And I have also two new tires.
Oh, why?
Yeah, because I think both of the tires got side slashes.
Oh wow! So you must have found a good bike shop somewhere.
I found every bike shop already in between.
Have you been to many bike shops then?
Three.
Oh, yeah. Man. And how does that feel? Are you at all frustrated about the time that's taken?
No, like there's enough time to make it. Yeah. It's only a little bit disappointed.
Yeah.
Like I came here to do well, and now it's like, yeah, you see the first day you were like 100k behind. I saw like I was in Puerto Rico and I saw you Steam's already in Mostar. Like, why? What the fuck? I was in Puerto Rico and my stop time was, I think I was at more stop time than at 70% or something like that.
Mid-afternoon, and Justina Slaveka is the first rider to arrive at Control Point 1 in Burana. A pretty hot favourite going into the race, Justina has been at the front for days and looks to be in a good position with just Kosovo and Albania again in front of him. But today has been far from straightforward for our race leader.
So I'm currently at Control Point 1 in Burana. As you can hear, there's some pretty intense music pumping out. We got some nice 80s disco vibes. Now, we had a bit of a drive here today. We spent 5 hours driving across Montenegro to try and get here before Justinas. And unfortunately, he left 12 minutes before we arrived. Fortunately, our CP volunteers, my parents were here to welcome him in. Unfortunately, though, when he arrived, it turned out Justinas had just had a collision with a vehicle as he descended from Biogradska Gora back onto the road just before Burana. So he'd hit this vehicle and broken his phone, and was unable to let any of his friends or family know that he was okay or why he'd gone dark. After I spoke to him via the CP volunteer's phone, I managed to speak to his sister and let her know that he was okay and would be carrying on with the race. Physically, he was pretty much fine. He had a few scrapes and bruises, but no head injuries, and felt like he was safe to continue and didn't even need to speak to one of our lost dot standby doctors. So he took the time to compose himself, to charge his devices and order some food, eat a lot of it, feed everything else to the dogs, and then get back on his bike with his trademark smile and leave.
Just over 5 hours later, Christoph Dijkman also rolls into Control Point 1 with plans to stay a while and rest.
How are you doing, Christoph?
I'm fine. I was thinking to continue, but I will stay here because it's later than I expect. So,
which bit took longer than you thought?
The kind of cases done.
The Dermator Highlands.
Yeah, it was really nice there, but not the fastest.
That's it, you're in. Second.
Yep.
Going well?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Good.
But the guy in front, it's something.
Quite something, yes.
As the light fades on day 3 in the Balkans, Tom catches up with Alain Rumpf, cap number 8, who's been enjoying time with the varied wildlife found on the accursed.
So you're getting used to the kind of rhythm of the race and the terrain, like what to expect?
Yeah, pretty much. But every day is a little different, yeah. You know, like today, I think, you know, the big climb, I was a little concerned that it would be super technical. Mm-hmm. Actually, it wasn't.
Yeah.
Other days it has been technical, but yeah, now I know that I can expect anything.
Are there any moments so far that stand out as memories?
Moment that stands out as memories. I don't know, but I was reflecting on the bike about animals.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen so many different animals, not just like cows and sheep, but I see like, how do you say, hares?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, all the time. Like I saw hundreds tonight.
Wow.
Bees, Bosnian people love bees, yeah. Love honey. So they have like how do you say, beehives?
Yeah,
or
yeah,
beehives everywhere. And frogs and so many different, like, huge green lizards. So, yeah.
Have you seen any snakes?
Oh, yeah. Snakes, like, all dead but one.
Join us in our next episode to see if Justinus is able to shrug off the shock of a far too close encounter and push on into Kosovo. And we'll see if either rider fighting for second is able to break away and create a gap of their own. There's no doubt fatigue is beginning to set in amongst the riders in the Accursed Mountains. You can read daily race reports from the road on our website and get updates across all our social media channels. Thanks to our race partners, Albion and Ride with GPS.